Amen. It's better to give than to receive. Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Yes.
The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish.
Right.
This is all good preaching. I'm going to preach a lot of this tonight, but really I want to probably dig some of this out of verse number 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I don't guess I've preached along these lines in all these years. I was thinking of roughly 26 years since I've been 13. I've been saved, been preaching for about 22 years. I was thinking about that over there a while ago. And Psalms chapter 92, I want to leave you with this, and then I'm going to try to preach to you. Amen. 92 and verse number 12. Amen. Verse 13 is where I want to dig out here also. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
Yes.
I love this.
Yes.
Those that be planted. Amen. If some people underline in Bibles and some don't, but if you don't believe in underlining in your Bibles, amen, right here is one you shouldn't make an exception for. Hallelujah. I love this.
Yes.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
Yes.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age.
Yes.
They shall be fat and flourishing. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Amen. God in heaven. These verses that are read to us here tonight, amen, are a pedigree or a pattern, if you will, amen, on how to live a prosperous, blessed life in the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. I believe you can live blessed in the Lord, don't you?
Right.
Praise God. Amen. And it gives us a guide, if you will, for prosperity. You can be blessed of God. Amen. Not because of ability, not because of charisma, not because of talents. Amen. But because God looks down upon us. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's my first point tonight. Amen. I'm just going to take my time here before I get going preaching. Hadn't got to my title just yet. Amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hallelujah. If you want to live a blessed life, he tells us in his word right here, one of the number one things you got to do is take roots from the ungodly counsel. Amen. Glory to God. I found out years ago, Brother Daniel, if I was going to live a holy, consecrated, dedicated life to God, I had to pull up roots with that worldly bunch. Amen. Oh, yes. Great God in heaven. Amen. And I tell you something else I don't do. I don't call them up and ask him for advice. Amen. And I preached along these lines several years when I, amen, really need something, I found out, amen, the best thing in the world to do and the first thing when we get in trouble and we need help and we need advice, we like to call folks up. What would you like to do? And I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. But the best person to call up is the Lord, Brother Daniel. Get down on your knees in prayer and say, oh, God, right here's a circumstance. What would you do about it, Lord? Amen. And I tell you what, most of the time, he'll do something about it. Hallelujah. And maybe not always when you wish it was. Maybe not always when you think he ought to do something. But I tell you this, he'll do something about it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You'll never prosper going down and getting advice from the worldly crowd. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Amen. Well, if I want to prosper and be blessed, rest of God, what else should I do? Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Amen. Try to stand just inside of the rules. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Amen. You ever seen that crowd? Amen. That try to live wishy-washy. They try to straddle the fence, if you will. But you don't want to run with that crowd either. Hallelujah. Great God in heaven. I tell you, Brother Daniel, in school, even way back as far as when I was in school, I found out, amen, that my attitude changes by the company that I keep, amen. And if you hang with that questionable crowd, it'll cause you to live a questionable life, amen. And you got to make your mind up, which crowd am I going to hang with, amen. Nor sit in the seat of the scornful, amen. Don't laugh with the scornful. Don't be that crowd that picks and pries and makes fun of folks, amen. And if anything brings out old Papa Bear's feathers in my family, and I've taught my children, amen, don't laugh and make fun of folks. Amen. It'll come back on you if you don't watch out. Be generous. Be courteous. Be loving. Amen. To everybody. Praise God. Don't be that one that always wants to talk about and that always wants to sit in the seat of the scornful. Amen. God said, if you want to be blessed, you won't do that. Amen. Did you hear me here tonight? This ain't Jason's words that I'm preaching, but this is the word of God. Amen. Don't get caught up with that scornful crowd. Don't get caught up with that crowd, amen, that makes a living of making fun of somebody else. Oh, no. Amen. If you want folks, amen, to count your life credible, and if you want people to have confidence in your life, I tell you what you better do. Amen. You better sever ties with the worldly crowd. Oh, yes. Amen. Great God, you better walk, amen, not in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of the sinners. And number three, don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Amen.
You're right.
I didn't even know preach like this. I ain't got to my title just
come
yet.
On, come on.
Amen. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Woo!
Hallelujah. Well, he gives a few don'ts. Don't run with the worldly crowd. Don't take advice of the worldly crowd. Amen. Don't be the scornful like that worldly bunch. Amen. And number four, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. But what's her delight in? Oh, but her delight is in her boyfriend. His delight is in her girlfriend. Great God, and I'm going to try to skirt. I don't always do this, but I know people today that I love with all of my heart. You know what their delight is? Watching the soap operas. Hey, you know what their, hey, my delight is? Keeping up with the latest Hollywood fashions. Great God, amen. But the Bible said, if you want to live a blessed life, amen, your delight, when you get up in the morning, amen, you'll delight in his word. He'll say, oh God, what would you have for me? Hey God, amen. I've spurned us this past year. I've challenged us. I've tried to push us along. And Brother John's outdone every one of us. He's read the Bible nearly through 2 times in 11 months. That's pretty good, ain't it? Hey God, that's wonderful. Amen. I've really spurned us, and I really tried to push us along to read this Bible through this year. And if you haven't and got your name back there, put it back there. We're going to do a little something for you. Hey, but it's important, Brother George, once we read it, and Brother Tommy, put ourselves, amen, in its presence long enough, you'll get to the place where you'll delight, amen, in the law of the Lord. It'll be your utmost desire. Lord, what do you have to say about it? When you get out of bed in the morning, you want to pick his word up. When you go to bed at night, you'll say, Lord, what does your word say? Hey God, amen. What about that? Your wife, what about your husband? That one that you love. Every day you got to have a communication. Every day you want to talk to that one. That's the way the Lord is. He wants us to delight ourselves also in the Lord. Amen.
Glory.
Praise God. And we are mad for this.
Jesus.
I would say the consensus, the number one gap of every woman in here, every wife in their relationship, and I've heard this a lot, They say he don't listen real good.
Ouch.
Men keep a lot of things on their mind.
And I'm not making an excuse, but I do keep a lot of stuff on my mind. Brother Daniel and Michelle, they talk to me sometimes, and I have been guilty of this. I've been looking at her in the face, and she said, "Are you hearing me?"
Yeah.
We've been married long enough now, Brother Chris. I can't get by. I can't just stand there and make her think I know what she... Hey, God, sometimes I'm looking at her, Brother Tommy, but I'm thinking about something else. Woo! And we've been married long enough, she's caught up with me. And she said, "You ain't listening to me." And I'm looking her right in the eyes, amen. And she said, "You ain't listening to me." Amen. Oh, God. Amen. I feel like the Lord, amen, maybe is there with some of us. Maybe we're there, amen, when we're right here in His presence. We're right, we know we're right where we ought to be. But He said, "You're not delighting in me." Oh, God. Don't read it 4 chapters a day just so you can say, "I read it through." But delight in me.
Woo!
Love me. Get up in the morning with my word on your heart. Go to bed at night with my word on your heart. Hey, amen. Delight in the law of the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Number 5, and then I got to get to my message. And His law, His word, doth he meditate. He delights in it.
Come on.
And all, not only does he delight in it, but he meditates on it.
Yeah.
Day and night.
Yes, yes.
Woo, hallelujah. So what happens, amen? Here's my message. What happens when we follow these 5 things that the Lord tells us in Psalms chapter 1 to do? What happens, amen, when we, great God, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly? What happens when we don't stand in the way of the sinner nor sit in the seat of the scornful? Amen, but we delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on His word both day and night. What happens, amen? I'll tell you what happens, great God. He tells us that they shall be planted. Hey God, if the Lord will help me tonight, I'm going to preach, blessed are they that are planted. Blessed are they that are planted. They shall be planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. Hey God in heaven. Amen. They shall be productive, which bringeth forth His fruit in His season. Hey God, I never thought of this, Brother Charlie, but there are seasons of life, and I believe that's what God was telling us. You take the apple tree, for instance, Brother George, it bears forth fruit in the springtime of the year. It has buds and blossoms, Brother Chris, on the tree. Amen. And you know immediately what we think? Oh, it's getting ready to produce apples. Amen. Glory to God. And as it begins to warm up, you'll see a little bud about the size of the end of your finger, and then you'll see that apple grow. And then late in the summer, maybe getting close to fall, you harvest some beautiful, delicious, juicy apples off of that tree. But from the fall of the year all the way to the spring, it's also a season. There's no fruit, but it's a rest period. And if God's going to get anything out of that apple tree, He's got to let it rest. I've never seen that before in all of my life. Amen. Just because you don't see the apple right now, just because we're not seeing the bud on the tree, we say, "Oh God, amen, why is there nothing?" I feel like God said, "Amen, you stay consecrated to me. I'll plant you by the rivers of water, and I'll cause your life to be productive, and I'll bring forth fruit in our season." The season might not be right now. We might not see the apple right now, but hold on. The blooms are going to come. Hold on. The spring's going to come. Hold on. The rain's going to come. And God is going to bless our fruit. Amen.
Woo!
Yes.
Glory.
He said it'll be perpetual. I love this.
Jesus.
His leaf shall not wither. Woo! Not a lot of trees that can testify to this. And we go through leaf season. Jonathan's finding out as a landscaper. Leaf season is a hard time of year. Woo! Takes about 3 times to do the job. And people want to pay you the same money. Woo! That leaf works hard work. Amen. Great God in heaven. But anyway, The leaf shall not wither in its season. Hey, God. What's he saying here? I tell you what I believe he's saying. He's saying when you're really blessed of the Lord, that tree's not going to wither. Have you ever heard people say we need to be evergreen Christians? Good God. You look out that window and you can see them leaves begin to wither up, turn red, turn yellow, and fall off the tree. But over beside that tree's that old evergreen. And them needles are still just as green in the winter time as they are the fall time. Hey, God. I believe that's what the Lord's saying. Amen. He'll cause our leaf not to wither. Amen. You look at that worldly crowd out there. They're up, they're down. Amen. They're sacking up and ain't sacking up. They're smoking dope and going to church the next week. But he said, if you're really blessed to the Lord, I'll cause your leaf not to wither. You won't be up and down, up and down. I come to preach tonight. Are you planted in the Lord? He said, if you live right, look right, act right, I'll plant you by the river, the water, and your leaf will never wither.
Never wither.
Woo!
Yes. All right.
Lastly here.
Jesus.
Before I move on. He said, you'll be prosperous.
Amen.
Whatsoever you do shall prosper. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Glory to God.
Amen. Right. Thank you, man, I feel like shouting. Your family will prosper.
Come on. All right.
Woo! Amen. You'll prosper. Your church will prosper.
All right.
You'll prosper on the job. Amen. And you'll prosper spiritually if your life is blessed of the Lord. Amen. Oh, yes. Planted high in the mountains. What does planted mean? Deep roots. Hey, God. I'm mostly done in leaf season, but believe it or not, Dr. Ignatius down there had got a tree about 100, 150 feet off the shore there of the Ohio River. Amen. And I mean, I literally, it's one of the biggest oak trees I've ever seen in my life. I think it'd take probably four of us grown men, maybe five of us, to hold arms and go around that tree. That's how massive that tree is. It's been there a lot of years, Brother Tommy. Hey, man, I still got to wait. I always got to wait to at least a week after Christmas or the first week of January to go and try to clean them leaves up. One last time, I was just up there 2 weeks ago and they were still half loaded. I mean, really. You know why? Because that oak tree. Hey, man, I told them all, them boys are up every year. What's the matter with that tree? Why won't it lose its leaves? I said, I'll tell you why, boys. That thing's got a tap root. Hey, man, it goes plumb down, I believe, and it's got a root to that river. Hey, it's planted by the rivers of the water. Hey, I come to tell you tonight, that's where you need to be. You need to be planted in the rivers of living water. Planted down there in the fertile ground. Be planted right where God put you. You'll grow best if you grow where God has placed your life. Amen. High in the mountains of Africa, I didn't know this, are the snow-capped mountains. Way up there, Africa's got some high mountains. And they get rain and snow upon them mountains.
Yeah.
Great God. And when that snow begins to melt, it drifts down. And as it comes down, it flows across some tributaries of the Sahara. Amen. Desert. Great God. Over there in Africa. Oh, amen. But it flows into a river that many of you will recognize. Amen. Named the Nile River. Hallelujah. Great God. And they said all around that Nile River is dry and death and dusty, and I mean nothing but dust, amen, and dryness. But oh, down there beside the Nile River, flowing from high up on the mountain, there's plenty of water down in the Nile.
Woo!
Hey, God, hey, amen. The desert, I believe, is the world and the parts of the world, and the desert and the world has nothing to offer but salvation, and the Lord comes from on high. Hey, God, peace, joy, contentment, it comes from high up on them snow-capped mountains. The love of the Lord, it comes from up on them snow-capped mountains. How am I going to live? I'm going to plant myself down there by the river. I said I'm going to plant myself down there where I can get water and where I can get nourishment. Amen. From the Nile River.
All right.
Bless him, Lord.
This worldly crowd.
Amen. They think they can get their happiness, amen, from booze and rock music and dope and drugs. Oh, yes. I heard a preacher say that he personally stayed in the same hotel as Elvis Presley. I heard his testimony. And he said he rode in the same elevator many years ago with Elvis Presley. And he said, I got him on that elevator and I pinned him down and I witnessed to him about the Lord. And he said, Elvis, when we got off the elevator, said, can we talk a few minutes? And he said, me and Elvis stood in the lobby of that hotel for 10 to 15 minutes. Why, I gave him the plan of salvation. And Elvis told me, amen, he said, I'm saved. I got saved in an old-fashioned Holy Roller church. And I'm saved. I got saved many years ago. Glory to God. And that preacher stood up in that crowd that he was addressing of hundreds, if not low thousands, amen, and said, Elvis Presley, I believe with all of my heart is in heaven tonight. I'm nobody's judge and I'm not God, but I come to tell you, you can't drink, smoke, amen, do drugs and play and sing rock and roll music and dance on the streets of gold. Oh no, it don't work like that. But God said, you'll plant yourself down by the river, hey, down by the rivers of living water.
Yes, sir.
Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. We need more people that's planted today.
Come on.
Woo! Believe it or not, this world's looking for somebody that's planted. Amen.
Amen.
This world's looking for somebody that's made their mind up. This is what I believe, and I'm sticking to it. Hey, I counted it up for a reason. For 26 years, Brother George, amen, I planted myself, and I ain't moved from that place. I decided 26 years ago what I believe, and I stuck right with it. There's too many people believe a lot of things today, but tomorrow they change their mind. Hey, I come to tell us in this house tonight, plant yourself on what you believe and you'll be able to stand. They come to me, Brother Jason, I believe it's a cult. I don't believe you gotta live like that. Hey, I'm not living in a cult. I haven't twisted anybody's arm in this house tonight and told you how you gotta live, but I preach from this black back word of God. Amen. And I feel accountable that if I don't tell you it's heaven or hell, I'm gonna stand in the judgment one day. And I make my mind up, I'm planted on the word of God, and I'm not backing up, I'm not easing up, but I'm gonna stay planted.
Woo!
Yes.
We got too many folks that won't plant today.
Come on, buddy. Come on.
They want a transplant.
Amen.
Oh, God. Amen. Oh, yes. I made my mind up 26 years ago. The standards that I believe in.
Yes,
and I still live them today.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Jesus.
Glory be to God.
Hey, I decided, Brother Tom Perry, 26 years ago, that I wasn't going to wear shorts. Amen. I wasn't going to let my hair grow long, and I wasn't going to be a sissified, effeminate man. Hey, God, I made my mind up. I'm going to do what this word says. Hey, God, amen. Oh, yes, amen. I made my mind up 26 years ago that I still believe in 2 Corinthians, where it said that a woman long hair is her glory. Hey, come on. And I made my mind up, Brother Daniel, that if I should ever get married, and if there's a girl out there, amen, that would pay me any mind, I'd never marry unless it's somebody that believes in the standards that I have preset in what I believe. Great God, I said, I've been planted for 26 years, and I'm still planted today. You came too late to tell me holiness ain't right. I said you came too late. I planted by the rivers of water. Oh, yes.
Yes.
I decided 26 years ago
to stand with the church.
Yes, sir.
I'm still standing with the church.
Glory, glory.
I'm going to wade through this very lightly.
Once again, I know people that's been here,
and they say, I've been hurt in church. I can't go to church because I'm hurt. I'm saying this with all the compassion that I can. I've been hurt in church too. I've had that fiery darts thrown at me.
I've had Saul's javelin thrown at me. Tried to pin me in a wall, Brother Daniel.
Oh, yeah.
I've been hurt in church. But you know what, Brother Tommy? I kept going.
Yes, sir.
Because I made my mind up I'm going to plant myself because I believe in the church. Hallelujah. Hey, God in heaven. And you know what it's cost, what it's, amen, created in my life and in my home. Now that I have children, amen, now that I have parents, amen, they're still trying to make their mind up on some things. They're evaluating some things. Hey, there's a lot more people depending on you than what you think there are. Amen. What if you give up and say, I don't need the church. I can go home and watch it on the computer. I can go home and watch it on Marco Polo. I can go home and do this and that. Hey, God, oh, you'll cause others to stumble. You'll cause others to fall. There'll be others that may never come back. But great God, my family can look at Jason Painter and say for 26 years, he's been planted and they have not moved. I shall not be moved. I said I'm planted by the rivers of water.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Getting out. Are you planted? I said, are you planted? Amen.
I still believe that the only church that Jesus planted, old Schofield, and I got a Schofield. Schofield said that the church of Jesus Christ is an invisible church. That's a bunch of prunes.
That's right.
Woo. That's right. The church of Jesus Christ is a live, visible church.
Yes.
Woo. I said, and I believe, Brother Daniel, that the only church that Jesus ever planted was the local holiness church. Amen. Oh, yes. Amen. Somebody said, that old radio preacher and that pillow evangelist preacher said, send me your tithes. Amen. Send me $100 or $1,000 and sow a seed, and God will do this for you. Oh no, he's telling you a falsehood. I'll tell you where you give your money. I'll tell you where you pay your tithes. Down at the local assembly where they're preaching hell's hot and eternity's a long time. That's where you sow your seed. That's where you get behind. Great God of heaven tonight.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord.
If you got any extra money above that,
and you want to send it out, that's up to you. But we have churches today that's struggling, that can't hardly make it because there's a bunch of bloodhound tick sucking, amen, thieves out there.
Yeah.
Like an old tick on a hound dog. Woo! And they're just trying to get rich. Amen. Off of a little lady's money. Oh yeah, I'm no gas for this. And I don't even know what it is, so don't judge me on this. Amen. I don't even know what women of truth even is. There's a little old lady up there I mow for, and she stumbles along like an old kid trying to get to the door just to put a chick in there. And I noticed, I shouldn't be nosy like this, but I've noticed several times out there on that mailbox, she had envelopes to send out. Women empowered of truth or something like that. Women of truth. You know what that old lady's doing? Amen. Somebody's hypnotized her. Amen. And talked her out of all her money. And she's sending her money down to some women of truth. I tell you what, hey God, there was a time in America where we believed God's book and we had powerful churches and we backed the church with everything. We were planted in the church of the living God.
Yes, we backed power to women.
Woo. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Holy.
Now we back T.D. Jakes. Who said there's more than one way to get to heaven? Now we back Oprah Winfrey. Oh, brother, Well, whoever said it the other night got me stirred up. Maybe Brother Donnie or Brother Jerry won. Amen. Yeah. Osteen says the same thing.
Yeah.
One of the wealthiest preachers in the world today said there's multiple routes to heaven. There's more ways than Jesus. That's a lie if I ever heard one. My Bible said there ain't but one way to the pearly gates, and it's through Jesus Christ plus nothing. I said it's a false doctrine. We've got men and women that aren't planted. I come to tell you, church, make your mind up what you believe and plant yourself in a Holy Ghost blind bag. King James Version, preach a church.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Mercy, Lord.
Woo!
Glory.
Oh, yes. That way when heartache and problems and troubles come, you'll have some way to help you.
Amen.
Amen. Young people, listen to me. Married couples, listen to me. Decide on what you believe and plant yourself right there.
That's right. Yep.
I'm not saying this bragging me whatsoever. But George, I ain't been the best man in the world. I ain't saying nothing like that. 20 years ago, Michelle and I walked down an aisle of holy matrimony, and I held her hand, Brother Chris. Amen. I'm not a crybaby. I'm not a crier, really. But that day, I bawled and cried from the time I seen her come up that aisle to the time I carried her out of that aisle. Woo, I cried. Man, I cried. She finally looked at me. She said, "What's the matter with you?" I said, "I don't know."
That's the
only thing I could figure out was I just never really believed it would ever come to pass. Amen. The only greatest thing I ever wanted in my life was to find somebody to love me. Amen. And I found it, Brother Daniel. And there she was walking up that aisle. Hallelujah. Woo! But you know what? I made my mind up 20 years ago. Hey, that I must go get planted in that marriage. Hey, yes.
Hello.
Amen. I said for richer, for poor, for better or for worse, for sickness or for health, I'm planted with you. And she used to get a little upset, amen, when I worked at the hospital, amen, around all them women. But you know what? Hey, God, hey, amen, she married somebody that was planted.
Woo!
I never looked at another woman. I could care less about somebody else because I was planted.
Yes, sir.
And then one day, Sister Dottie, old Sally come out. Sally was a good woman. She still lobbied for me to come back. Sally come out. She didn't know nothing. She said, "Michelle, I want to let you know you got a good husband." I got to brag on me because she won't. Sally come out, Brother Chris. She said, "I want you to know, Michelle," she said, "you got a good husband." She and I, you don't know who's watching you.
That's right.
Amen. Mother Tommy.
Yeah.
She said, "I've watched him all these years."
Come on.
She said, "Yeah, has women flirted? Oh, yeah. Has this happened? Oh, yeah." She said, "But not one time has he ever turned his head towards another one." Woo! That's somebody that I work with every day, that sees my life every day, Brother Tom. And she said, "Not one time have I ever seen a crossway out of that man." Hey, God, you know what she was saying? He's planted.
Woo!
I come to tell you tonight, that's how you need to be in your marriage. When things are upside down and it ain't going just like you think it ought to go, you make your mind up. I'm planted.
Yes, sir.
Bless him, Lord.
That'll help a lot of marriage trouble. Y'all didn't know I was a marriage counselor.
Come on.
Bless him, Lord.
Works.
You get married, a lot of first marriages end. Really, I think it's 13 months. I don't know whether that was an old statistic. I don't know what the new statistic is. A lot of times, first time marriages end within 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know why? Because they're just little young pups.
Yeah.
And they think you get married and it's happily ever after. Until you hit that first stump. And that woman or that man goes back in his clothes and said, "I'm out of here." And they said, "Hit the road, Jack."
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Amen. Michelle ain't never really told me that. But if she told me she's packing her clothes, I said, "Get mine ready. I'm going with you." Hallelujah. Woo! Wherever you're going, I'm going. Amen. Hey, God. Amen. If you're excited, pack your clothes, pack mine. We're leaving together. Amen. Hey, I said I'm glad. Hey, and I said all that to say this. When he planted Christians in this day, that was a time the church was strong. That was a time that the members were planted and said, great God, this is my church, and I planted right here. And God will bless that individual that plants in the church.
Right.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Woo!
Thank you, Lord.
Nowadays, the preacher.
Amen. A lot of preachers. And I'm trying to preach specific and broad also. But did you know that at one time, a couple years back, I read statistics that said the two number one turnover fields in America were nurses and priests. And I was in both of them. Woo. Amen. Great God. You know why? You know why a lot of preachers don't stick it out? Because they get a lot of snags, and they get hardships, amen, and they hit turmoil, and they hit trouble, and they say, not for me, I'm out.
Yeah.
Amen. And they're on down the road. Woo. It really ought not be that way, because if anything, the preacher needs to know he's got some folks planted with him.
Right.
If anything, the preacher needs to know that the first little thing he preaches, right, that you don't like ain't going to make you mad. You trot off down to the next church. Oh, no, that ain't how a church ought to be. But we ought to come into them courts and say, we're planted together. We got unity in the house of the Lord. And I'm planted by the rivers of water.
All right.
I'm done.
Oh, God.
I know you're glad.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
My Lord.
Bless Lord.
You don't just love a companion, a wife, a husband until you get tired of them. Oh, no. You get tired of them, you pray, you fast, and you seek God, and you tell God, let you fall in love again. It'll happen again.
Blessed be God.
It'll happen again.
Blessed be God.
I know with all my heart. Because I've seen it in the church realm of things. People say, they get cold and indifferent. And you get yourself in an altar and you're praying. You ask God to rekindle that fire for the Lord. It'll come back to you.
Yes, sir.
Woo! You lose that desire to read His Word. It'll come back if you pray for it. You lose that desire to pray. You get down on them knees and say, oh, God, teach me how to pray again, oh, Lord. It'll come back. Hey, what you lost is you're planted. You got to learn to get planted. You got to learn that I'm not going to move. I'm going to stand on the Word of God.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
And lastly, I got to read to you my other verses. Amen. Hallelujah. 92, and I'm done. I was only 113, but this 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. I didn't know this, but I got to study real quick back here about palm trees. Did you know palm trees can take storms and winds and hurricanes and tornadoes over 200 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Woo! I didn't know this. But Brother Tom Berry, a palm tree can be blown over, they said, till it touches the ground and not break. And when the storm's over and the sun comes up, it's like a stalk of corn. It stands back up. I remember when I was a young farmer, Brother George, and we had a bad storm come through here, and about half of my corn patch was laying on the ground, and I thought I was going to go pull it up. And I told Brother Daniel, I said, Brother Daniel, it's like a Friday or Saturday. We had church. I said, Brother Daniel, about all my corn's laying on the ground. He said, leave it alone. The sun will draw it back up. I left it alone. You know what? That sun drew it back up. Woo! We had corn after all. Great God in heaven. Woo! And that's what he said right here. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in the Lebanon. Oh, yes. Amen. Some quick notes I got back here. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, bearing fruit in every season. And they will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, the largest trees of the east, a symbol of majestic size and strength. Amen. Oh, yes. I said that. They said some palm trees have been known to produce fruits for as high as 200 years. Hey, God, and God said, you're going to flourish,
yeah,
like a palm tree.
Woo!
You're going to flourish. Hey, plant yourself in the house of God, and you're going to see fruits. You're going to go in the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
If this don't help you, this is what I needed tonight.
Praise
come on, buddy. Come on.
Because believe it or not, preachers go through it too.
That's right.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard, really.
Man.
Going to hold a church in this day.
Bless you, Lord.
Because you know what? People think they can live any old way you live. And a Holy Church don't do that, boys. Amen. And I been feel like I'm as long-suffering as any holiness pastor in this area. But at least the people that I know, I'm very long-suffering in a lot of areas. And I go above and beyond to try to help and try to woo. But there comes a place where I finally draw the line and say, we ain't going to go no further than that. Amen. I want to help people. I want people saved. I want people to draw closer. I want people to mark up. But I can't cross that line. Amen. And the devil said, you ain't never going to have fruit. Amen. There's more leaving than there are coming. Amen. But that's not what God said. Hey. I said, will you say it with me? The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Oh, Brother George, I didn't know this, but them cedars of Lebanon were a magnificent tree, and they could grow as high as 130 feet, massive size, but it took them 30 to 40 years just to go 60, 70 feet. Some of them cedars that was mature, 70, 80, I mean 130 feet and greater, they were over, amen, 100 years old. It took them a long time. What are you saying, Brother Jason? Sometimes we want that old charismatic style where it pops up overnight and there it is. But God said it ain't going to be like that. It's going to take a slow grind. Amen. And I'm going to raise up trees like the cedars of Lebanon.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Sister Martin told me that years ago. She said, Jason, you don't want a fast growth. She said, you want to grow slow. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Woo. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Slow growth is good growth. Amen. Plant yourself in the house of God. Verse 14. Verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord. Did you hear that? I told you earlier, if you're going to underline one, you ought to underline that. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God.
That's right. That's right.
If you plant yourself in the house of God, he said, you're going to flourish.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's right.
Plant yourself down there in the local Kiwanis Club on them. Plant yourself down there at Marshall Stadium Field. No. Plant yourself. Amen. Oh, no. He said, plant yourself in the house of God.
Right.
Amen. My kids has asked me a lot of times, and I hope and pray the older they get, the more they see it. They said, Dad, why we got to go down there and clean the church? Why we got to go down there and paint? Why we got to go down there and shampoo carpets? Why we got to do this? And I said, I'll tell you why. Because it's God's house, and it's God's work, and that's the most simple. It's more important to play with your baby dolls. It's more important than lighting your dinosaurs up. Plant yourself in the house of God.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Yes, it is.
Plant yourself in his house.
Amen.
Glory.
Oh, yes. Amen. Plant yourself. I got to move right on here. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing. Ezekiel 17:5, he took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field, and he placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. He planted it in a fruitful field. Did you hear that? Strong churches have strong members who are planted in a fruitful field. Amen. Oh, yes. Great God, strong churches. Amen. Has members that are planted and are strong. Strong churches has a pastor that's planted and is strong. Strong churches has Sunday school teachers that are planted and are strong. Strong churches have bus drivers that are planted and are strong. Strong churches have members that are planted and are strong.
Yes, Lord.
I was thinking today as I was thinking about all this, might have even been last night, about Sister Bart Corns.
Oh, yeah.
My, I'd love to have 50 of her right now. I'd love to have 50 Bart Corns right now.
What a precious soul.
Be honest with you, Brother Tommy.
And I'm not saying this for hurt whatsoever, but I had a few people tell me, said, you better watch out, lady. She's loud mouth. She tried to take over this, that, and the other. And so naturally, but George, you know, I was a little leery at the start. Amen. And she was a little loud in her own ways. She'd get up and tell you how the Lord blessed her with 50 quarts of strawberries. And I can't remember the strawberry story. Some of you could probably, but she'd tell you what the Lord done and all this and that. Woo, hallelujah. But oh, when we got in a service like tonight and the Spirit of God moved in and all, great God, she's the first one up. First one up. Woo, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
One time we was on the van, church van, going to a fellowship meeting. I think we was going clear to Vanceburg one night. Sister Barbara's on that van. We about had a packed up van. And Sister Barbara heard me and Mark Reeves was sitting in the front. And he was telling me about how he had some co-op in an engineer school that it was in Disney World. And they're learning to design rides and that sort of thing. Well, Sister Barbara's in the back of that van. And she never got the story straight. And later that night, we got home, she called me, and she said, you go to Disney World? She said, if you go to Disney World, she said, I can never sit in your church. She didn't give me a chance to talk, Brother Tommy. She ripped me up one side and down another. I said, first off, Sister Barb, I don't know where you got all that from. I said, but I ain't never been to Disney World, and I ain't got no plans on going to Disney World. I said, she said, I heard you and Mark up there talking about going to Disney World. I said, no. He told me somebody he goes to engineer school with, goes there, and works at Disney World as an engineer. Amen. And while she had me riled up, I went ahead and told her a few other choice things. Amen. Hey, God. Amen. And this is what I learned about strong Christians. Amen. She tuned me out. I chewed her out, and you know what she did? The first step in that door, she grabbed me around the neck, and she hugged me, and she said, I'm sorry that I misjudged you. You got every right in the world to tell me what you told me. She could dish it, but she could take it. And I come to tell you tonight, a lot of people want to dish it, but they can't take it. And them are strong Christians that are planted in the house of the Lord.
Thank you.
Woo. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Somebody get me a song up here.
True preacher.
Yes, it be good.
The preacher might do or say something that you don't like. The people that are planted don't just pack up and run, trot off. First time something don't happen, they like, you'll be trotting the rest of your life.
That's right.
You ever wonder, Brother George, why something is done or said that somebody don't like in a church and the first thing they want to do is crawl off somewhere else? And on the job, they sit and take it for years.
Amen.
Yeah.
You ever notice that?
Yeah.
They'll sit and take that stuff. I worked on the job down there where two ladies were best friends for years. They grew up, went to the same school together, and they ended up working together. Well, my, you ain't had no trouble. You had a cat fight. And them two girls fell out. I mean, it's a long, drawn-out story, but they fell out. We used to have to show up every morning for the first 15 to 20 minutes. We had to sit and report, what you call report. They have to, back in those days, they changed since I was there, but when I first started, you had to go back in that room, and the night shift would report on the tape recorder. You had to get in there and get your notes and sit and tell everything that happened through the night. You had to know all that stuff, so it was pretty important right off the bat. But later on, we did it firsthand, you know, before. That we had to do firsthand to the night shift worker. But anyway, we used to go there and sit in that report room, and there was some tension in there, so thick, I mean, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But not one person hopped up and said, I'm sick of this. I'm going somewhere else. No, we had to deal with it.
That's right.
We had to deal with it. Amen. Great God in heaven. Boy, I'm kind of into it here tonight, isn't it?
Bless him, Lord.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Bless him, Lord.
And I just come to tell you tonight, you'll be fickle and you'll be movable until you make your mind up. I'm planted.
Right.
I'm planted right here.
Glory to God.
And once the devil sees you've got your mind made up and you're planted right where God's put you, he can't make you wishy-washy. He can't start more you in your mind. He can't make you be like a wave up and down to and fro. Amen. But he says, oh, that one right there is planted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's where Job was. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time to preach all this out. Job was planted.
Yeah.
And the devil came to the Lord and said, I can't do nothing with him because you got a hedge around him. You know what he was saying? He's planted. Job is planted.
Amen.
I can't do nothing with that man. That's what the devil said. Stand with me across this house tonight. I wonder if that's what he's saying about you. Amen. You make a serious mistake when you're always on the other side of the authority. I remember my dad one time, my sister got in trouble down to school, Brother Earl. And I knew enough about Jessica to know this. Don't ever take sides with her, because most of the time she's on the wrong end of it. She got in trouble for smoking in the bathroom, they said. The teacher said, I caught her smoking, and said she took that cigarette and filled it to commode. Well, Jessica come home crying to my dad, talking about how they get ganging up against her. And I never smoked, Dad. I can't smoke, Dad. I got asthma. And if I ever smoke, I'd have an asthma attack. I told him, I said, Dad, I said, you might want to stay out of this, man. More she talked, more she had my dad riled up. My dad never did things like this very often, but here they go down to school and they have it out. Jessica smoked for the next 15 years after that.
Yeah.
Swore up down, she never smoked. Whew. Amen. But my dad went down there, amen, just knew Jessica couldn't and wouldn't smoke. Amen. And he stood up against authority, against the teacher. And that's where we are in America today. We don't have no respect for teachers. We don't have no respect for law authority. We don't have no respect for preachers, churches, pastors. I mean, authority and respect is at an all-time low.
It is. Yes, it is.
I was coming home from, trying to think where I was coming home from. I was coming home from that night we went down there in Nashville. We was coming home that night. We went out there to Giovanni. It was late.
Yep.
And lo and behold, I preached this. I was coming through Canova. Guess who pulls me over? Trito pulls me over. He said, well, my tail lights wasn't, well, my brake lights wasn't working. I don't quite believe it, but I still had a chance to look it out. But they just look for a reason to pull you over. And he pulled me over, and he's wanting to fight. And I said, sir, I said, and I smiled at him real big. I've learned this. I've been pulled over enough. The best way to do it, brother Chris, make him feel good. I said, buddy, I'll tell you what. I said, I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher of the gospel. I've been in revival. Oh, we had a good time. I said, I'm just out here going to church. I said, what's the matter, sir? He started smiling. He said, hey, buddy. He said, you got a tail light out. He said, get on home. He never asked for my license. He never asked for my... They used to have me so riled up. Time I got that window down, I said, what's the matter, buddy? Why are you pulling me over? I learned that ain't the way to get it done. I've had him buttered up. He said, get on home, buddy. He said, try to get that brake light fixed. He said, don't you worry, buddy. I'm going to fix that brake light. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't always be on the wrong side of things.
Right.
Don't rebel against the preacher, against God, because he's trying to do his best to do what God wants done in the church.
Right.
Sure. The pastor shouldn't have to spend his time worried about who's going to be for him or who's going to be against him or who's mad or who ain't mad or who ain't got their way and who has got their way. He said, know that he has people that are planted with him. Amen. And every time we show up to church, we're in one mind, one accord,
yes,
unified together, ready to have church.
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
It's my ultimate desire to come here and have church and worship God. That's what I'd like to have done every night.
Thank you, Lord.
Every night I just want to gather in his presence and have church and get the Spirit of God to come by. Ain't that what you want, church? Who would get these honors tonight and say, God, will you plant me? Oh, God. Will you plant me, O Lord? He that believeth Jesus said on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. Great God, be like that evergreen tree. Stay green all the time. Be dependable. Be planted by the rivers of water.
Rivers of water, Lord. The word talks about blessing, Lord. Because, Lord, I want to be
the lily of the valley. Let your sweet aroma fill me.
Oh, wouldn't you like to get planted tonight? I don't want to be moved in any way. Wouldn't you like to get planted?
Rose of shade, show me how to grow in beauty in our stars.
planted. Blessed are the planted.
Let your love shine through me in
I want to be planted, Lord, in everything I do.
To be the great child of God.
Lord, I see a world that's dying, wounded by the Master. Standing near below. shall know me.